John chapter 21 and verse 15, we read, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' And he said, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said, 'Feed my lambs.'" Those of us who are familiar with this chapter and this incident in the life of Jesus after his resurrection are aware of the fact that Jesus actually asked this question of Peter three times: "Do you love me more than these?" This week, of course, will be the week of February 14th, which is Valentine's Day, and so there'll be a lot of talk about love this week. People we love. Jesus was talking about people. Do you love me more than you love these other apostles and disciples that might have been there on that particular occasion? Do you love me more than these? It's a good question. It's a good question for each of us to consider, especially in light of some other things that we read of as we go through this lesson. You see, we choose what and who we love. It's our choice. Peter wasn't told that he had to love Jesus. He just said, "Do you love me more than these?" Peter had the choice, and you and I have the choice as well. Familiar passage to us, we talk about it often. 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever." We're familiar with that, aren't we? Do not love the world or the things in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Jesus is saying here, you can't have it both ways. You can't love the world and love God. In fact, to love God means that we cannot love the world. And to love the world means that we don't really love God. Nevertheless, the world competes for our love of God. The world is passing away, and the lust of it. You can choose to love the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and love them, gratify them, take pleasure in them. But know also that the world is passing away, and the lust of them, those things that you find carnal pleasure in, there will not be anything to have carnal pleasure in when this world comes to an end. He that does the will of God abides forever. Talked a little bit this morning about a bad deal. It's a bad deal to love the world and the things that are in the world, because the world is passing away and the lust of it. So why lust after those things? It's passing away. Here's a good deal: love the Lord your God. He that loves God abides forever. In Matthew 22, you remember that Jesus was asked a question, verses 35 through 38. A lawyer asked him a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Notice he said, "You shall love the Lord the God with all your heart, with all of your emotions, with all of your soul, with all of your spirituality, with all of your mind, with all of your intellect." It's something that you decide to do. You make a conscious decision that, and if we choose to love God, then we need to recognize, as he revealed about himself throughout the Old Testament, "I am a jealous God. You will have no other gods before me." And when we choose to love the things of the world, we need to recognize that we are loving something before God. God will not share our love. We need to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. In Proverbs 7, in verses 1 through 27, words of great advice. Where we find wisdom is personified as a father. You could say, well, it's God speaking, and that would be true as well. But there is a, throughout this section of Proverbs, there is a personification of wisdom and of worldliness. Worldliness is personified as a harlot, an immoral woman. Notice, we read, "My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words." Who are you going to listen to? My son, keep my words. But there's someone else who has words. This seductress, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You need to choose which one you're going to listen to. With all of your mind, with all of your intellect, with all of your emotion, with all of your soul. It's your choice. "For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple," simple means don't know any better, inexperienced. "I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding. Passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark of night." Verse 10 says, "And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, and at times she was in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. And with an impudent face, she said to him, 'I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I came out to meet you, diligently to seek your face. And I have found you.'" Verse 21 says, "With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know that it would cost his life." What am I getting into here? Doesn't think about it. Just looks at the pleasure that is given to him on a carnal basis and runs headlong after it without thought of what's going to happen after this. You know, isn't that the way sin always is? Why do we participate in sin? Because of some kind of pleasure that we're going to get out of it. But do you ever stop and think about the regret you're going to have after you've participated in the pleasure? How much sin would we stay out of if we look beyond the pleasure to the regret and say it's not worth it? How much sin would we stay out of if we would recognize that the world is passing away and the lust of it? It's a bad deal. It's not worth it. Enticing speech, flattering lips. It's all around us, isn't it? It's in our TV programs. It's in our commercials that we watch, in the commercials that we listen to, in the entertainment that perhaps we choose to be entertained by. And we say, well, that might be wrong, but it's not real wrong. It's not real bad. How much are we to love God? With all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. Can we compromise even just a little bit and still be okay with God? Do you love me more than these? He did not know that it would cost his life. He goes like an ox goes to the slaughter, like a fool to the correction stock. You know, it's not a real smart person that commits crimes. They're going to get caught. They're going to jail. They're fools. Just as sure as the ox is raised to be slain and the fool is going to jail, the world is passing away in the lust of it and those who practice its sin. As an arrow struck its liver, I got pretty heavy into archery this year. You strike the liver, it's going to die. It's going to bleed out. It's not going to be immediate, but within a couple hours, it's going to die. As the bird hastens to the snare, not because it sees the snare. It doesn't see a snare. It just sees the food. Wow. Let me in there. Bam. Gotcha. Right? Isn't that the way we let sin deal with us? Oh, I can get away with this. Nobody's going to know. It's not going to hurt me. Do you love me more than these? He did not know it would cost his life. We act as if we don't know it's going to cost our soul when God has very plainly said it will. Now, therefore, listen to me, my son, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. Do not stray into her paths. Do not stray into her paths. Think about what you're doing. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Well, it's not going to hurt me. It might hurt somebody, but it won't hurt me. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. The world is passing away, and the lust of it. It's not a good deal. So there's a warning here. Worldliness is not a lover. I love you're the exception to the rule. You are exception. You're wonderful. Worldliness is a predator who is out to destroy souls. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Do you love me more than these? So we need to activate four barriers. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 23 through 26. If you're taking notes tonight, and I hope that you are. If you're not taking notes, at least write this down. Think about it. Maybe commit it to memory. It'll help you. Stay on the right path. Keep your heart with all diligence. Get serious about this. Make it a priority. Make it the priority. to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Don't put bad things in, and there won't be bad things coming out. Put good things in, good things come out. Put away from you the deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Don't lie to others. Don't lie to yourself. Don't be deceitful. Speak the truth. Stay away from those who try to deceive you and those who speak perverse things. Don't listen to them, because if you're not careful, it'll start to sound okay to you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. What's he saying? Stay on the path. It's a straight and narrow way that leads to life. I've never walked a tightrope, but those who do tell me you focus on the rope. You don't look at the ground beneath you. You stay focused on what's ahead of you. You're not out there sightseeing. Don't look around and see what else there is. There's one way that leads to life. You know it. Stay on that path. Ponder the path of your feet and let your ways be established. Let your ways be in the established way that leads to life. Let your ways and the path of your life be in agreement with the path of life provided by Jesus Christ. Activate those four barriers. Set your heart on diligently seeking the Lord. Stay away from, know the truth and stay away from deception. Look straight ahead, not all around. Stay on the path that leads to life. Seek out those who are faithful. Proverbs 25 and verse 9 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. Anybody ever have a bad tooth? Not very pleasant, is it? Have to put up with it. You can kind of live with it, but you always have to be careful about which side of your mouth you're chewing on, right? Rather not have a bad tooth, right? You ever have a sprained ankle? I've had that too. There's not a whole lot I haven't had now I think about it. You can get around, you can live, and you can do things, but it's not pleasant, is it? Confidence in an unfaithful man. Have you got a friend? Have you got somebody you trust in that doesn't trust in God? You might want to rethink how much confidence you have in them. Proverbs 27 and verses 5 through 6 says, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Deceitful love. People who say they love you, but not wholeheartedly. Somebody who loves you might have to rebuke you if you're wrong. But that's an expression of their love for you. God rebukes us, doesn't He? But He also corrects us. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Yeah, you can be told by those who don't love God that you're okay, you're all right, everybody's going to heaven, you're a good person, and they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know the Word of God and the way of God. They don't know that God expects us to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. They don't know the way of righteousness. They're not speaking words of comfort to you. They're speaking words of deception. And we allow ourselves to be deceived because that's what we want to hear. Well, you're okay. Well, good, I'm okay. Guess what? They're not going to be on the judgment seat. They didn't die for you. And most likely they wouldn't. Proverbs 13 and verse 20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." Who are your friends? Those who love God and the ways of righteousness, or those who love the world and the things of the world? The world is passing away and the lust of it, and all of those who participate in it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Proverbs 14 and verse 7, "Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge." What he says is not in agreement with the Word of God. What he says is not in agreement, a lot of times, with the laws of the land and keeping peace with your fellow man. He's selfish and self-centered and encouraging you to do the same. Go from the presence of that one. We are to avoid association with the worldly. In Proverbs 24, in the first two verses, it says, "Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. For their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking." Don't let your heroes be the heroes of society and the celebrities and all of those who are not thinking about God and righteousness, who focus on worldly things. We are to draw closer to God. Do you love me more than these? Wives, do you want your husbands to love you more than they love other women? Husbands, do you want your wives to love you more than they love other men? Oh, yeah. So is it any great wonder that God would say, "Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than anyone?" Didn't he love us so much that he gave his only son to pay the price for our sins? Is that asking too much of us? The person you love, didn't you want them to draw close to you? And didn't they draw close to you? And didn't you draw closer and closer to one another? And your love grew and grew. What if the person you love didn't want to be near you? Do you think you grow deeper in love, or you fall out of love? Is it any wonder that Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest"? Is it any wonder that James 4 and verse 8 says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you"? You know, I don't think we begin loving God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind and with all of our strength. It doesn't begin that way, does it? But it grows that way. As we draw nearer to Him and the more we know about Him and the more we come to appreciate His love for us, then the more we are compelled to return our lives as a living sacrifice to His praise and glory and the practice of the righteousness that He has revealed to us in His Word. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. In fact, as we've noticed so many times, John 14, that Jesus said, "My Father and I will make our abode in you." That's what I want. I want God to live in me. And God says, Jesus says, we do when our word lives in you. Our will is your will. Isaiah 41 and verse 13 reads, "For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you." We talked about that this morning. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Don't be afraid of anything. Sometimes we have to sever friendships and relationships, and sometimes we have to, you know, sever hobbies and interests that we have because we realize it's taking us away from God. It's not bringing us nearer to God. It's actually separating us from God. And it's hard to make those breaks, isn't it? Don't be afraid. I'll hold your right hand. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. So that passage in 1 John 2 and verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world. The world is passing away. And the lust of it. It's a bad deal. Wrong place to put your love. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Do you love me more than thee? Do you? Are you serving him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength? If not, why not? If you're here and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, then you have the opportunity tonight to have your sins washed away in the blood of Christ and to walk with him in newness of life from this day forward. If you're here as a child of God and your love for him isn't as great and committed as you know it should be and as he's invited us to participate in, you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ tonight. Please let it be known. Let us pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the invitation, would you please come as we stand and sing this song.